Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Wednesday morning, April the 13th, 2022. Hey, this is my grandfather's birthday. Happy birthday to him. 15 minutes past the hour, 61 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Marion. I do want to remind everybody quickly here that I will not be on tomorrow or Friday, so I want everybody to have a good Friday and a happy Easter. We will have the Cadbury eggs that people, the boxes of Cadbury eggs that people have won available for pickup at the Prospect Street office tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. or Friday morning at 10 a.m. The pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will be on this coming Friday from 9:15 until 10 a.m. And of course, Study His Word will be on Sunday morning live Easter morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m., so don't miss those shows. We've got a jam-packed first hour here on WWGH Radio this morning. We had a great, great time Monday morning with Tony Danza, who's coming to the Marion Palace Theater on April the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. That's going to be a show that can't be missed. And remember, we do have two sets of two tickets that we are going to give away early next week, probably Monday and Tuesday. So tune in for that, and the Palace will send you those tickets to the winners. So we thank the Palace for that. And speaking of the Palace, this morning to talk about Tony Danza and some upcoming events this season is the executive director of the Marion Palace Theater, Kirk Detweiler. Kirk, how are you?
I'm good.
But
how
big,
are you?
Oh, doing well. Big show coming up next weekend.
Yes. Yeah, April 23rd, we got Tony Danza. I'm very excited about it.
Now, how did Tony Danza come into the Marion Palace's scope? Because that's a big name.
Yes, it is. Actually, because I took over as executive director at the beginning of November when Bev Ford retired. And in my first week, my first big challenge was, a couple months ago, we had a touring company called Church Basement Ladies. They sent me an email going, oh, and they were originally booked for April 23rd, and they wrote me, their manager wrote me, oh, you know, we schedule an issue, we're going to stop touring in March, so we decided to move them up to February, which left a big hole in our schedule. So I work with several agents, this particular guy named Tom Fowler works out of Pennsylvania, but he was, Bev introduced me to him, he was kind of like the main agent that we book acts through, and I said, hey, I need to put something April 23rd, and he gave me a list of names, and I don't make the decision myself, you know, of 19 people on our Palace board, and I have a strategy committee, so we had a meeting, and I gave them a list of names, and they all jumped at Tony Danza. I'm like, okay,
I can
do it.
Yeah, I can see why. What has the response been since the publicity has been put out in the newspaper and several social media to this performance?
Well, the number one question we get, they know Tony Danza from television. So the number one question, we're trying to get the word out, because people are like going, okay, what does he do? And we're like, okay.
It's interesting you bring that up, because when we had him on Monday, we had two calls as soon as we were off the air saying, you know, they thought it was a stand-up comedy thing because it was Tony Danza. So that's interesting you bring that up.
Yeah, that people have no idea that he sings and dances. If you YouTube him, he's got YouTube videos of him tap dancing. He's fantastic. He's, you know, he sings like Frank Sinatra, and his show is called Standards and Stories, so he tells a lot of stories and anecdotes and stuff, so it's going to be a great show, but that's our biggest hurdle is people, they know Tony Danza, but they don't know what the heck he's going to do live.
Now, the two questions we've gotten here at the studio since Monday, I'll ask you. Number one, what are the prices of the tickets?
Uh, the most expensive ticket is $54 and $32. It's four different sections of the theater. 32 is the cheapest, 54 is the most expensive.
And, of course, the Palace seats around 1,400 people. What is the availability of the tickets right now? Have things been going well?
Yeah, with tickets every week, they're getting better. We got about half of the house right now. But we've discovered that, you know, hopefully the end stages of COVID, people are waiting to the last minute to buy tickets because they don't know, is a new variant going to come up? Am I going to be sick? Are they going to, you know, do mask mandates? So like we did a couple weekends ago, Clue, and we, you know, we went into it with only a couple hundred tickets sold for each show, and we sold 100 at the door. So we're about half full right now. There's still plenty of tickets, but the trend seems to be everybody's kind of booking late.
You know, I think people get to that weekend. People are so booked right now, and then they think, hey, I'm going to be free Saturday night. This is a great thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So on just the Tony Danza here, the final pitch, let people know the number they need to call. I know I have it here. What is your pitch to go see Tony Danza to straighten out exactly what Tony does and why they want to see this show?
Well, the box office number is 740-383-2101, and we're open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Of course, we're going to be closed this Friday because it's a holiday, Good Friday. My final pitch is go on our website, marionpalace.org. We got a couple YouTube videos of him. Check him out. He's fantastic. Or go on YouTube. There's a lot of videos of him on YouTube, you know, tap dancing on different television talk shows and stuff. Just, he will surprise you. You know, just check out his videos and come and see the show.
You know, and the great thing about this that I have thought about, with the gas prices being, you know, yesterday I think I paid close to $4, which is actually on the low end of what it's been lately. To have somebody of the caliber of Tony Danza, who I think 90% of the country knows, right here in Marion, 10 minutes from your front door, mm-hmm. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yes. So, yeah. No reason not to come.
No reason not to come, absolutely. Now the season that we are in and the upcoming season, what does that look like for the Palace?
Well, actually tonight we're having the season reveal to our marquee members and sponsors, which we will announce in about a month. Mid-May is traditionally when we announce the new season. Just yesterday, I got my final two acts straightened out. I can't. The only thing I can tell you is because we're going to do a news release on April 18th. So, Scott, you are the first person to hear this, only because we have auditions coming up in about a month. The summer musical this year is going to be the Will Rogers Follies.
Oh, great.
And the auditions are going to be May 14th. So that's the only thing I can tell you. All I can tell you is we have a great season. It's going to be jam-packed. You're going to see a lot of different things happening on the Palace stage that we haven't had for a while. We've got stand-up comedians coming, magicians, impressionists, jugglers. So we have some exciting new things along with what we traditionally will present, such as tribute bands and a couple of big names that are, I can't tell you right now, but they're going to be exciting.
Well, it's interesting because the last season here at the Palace, which I think includes Tony Danza, also mm-hmm. saw Debbie Boone, also saw the group with Sammy Kershaw and Colin Ray, which these are great names, and I was at that show. That show, I don't know if it sold out, but it had to be pretty close.
Are you talking about Roots and Boots?
Yeah, Roots and Boots.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much a sellout. And Amy Grant. Amy Grant was the only full sellout we had last season.
Isn't that tremendous? So
yeah,
some more things like that in the upcoming season.
Yes. We got some big names.
That's good.
Big names.
Now are they big names, and this is my last pride question, big names in the Tony Danza sense of television star, or big sense in the name of music stars?
The three that I'm thinking of now are all music.
Nothing wrong with that. Because Tony Danza, I guess, ends up being music in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a hybrid.
He really is. You know what surprised me about Tony Danza and why I have been speaking so highly of this show? His team sent over those two songs. And mm-hmm. I am really impressed with how good his voice is.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's a crooner.
He really is. And the songs he does are right up most people's alley. You can understand the lyrics. They're fun. And the fact that he does the ukulele, the dancing, that's really going to be a highlight show, I think.
Yeah, no, we're really looking forward to it. What I'm looking forward to is getting to talk to him, because my brother-in-law is from his hometown. And I'm sure they know some of the same people. My brother-in-law's father was a teacher at Tony Danza's high school. So I'm interested to see if he had my sister's father-in-law as a teacher. So
oh, that's interesting.
I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Well, you know, he seemed, and I had never interviewed Tony Danza, from the time he called, and by the way, he did for the audience, he called himself. There was no, I'm going to get Tony on the line or anything like that. He called. And could not have been nicer for the half hour he was on. He was genuinely nice.
Yeah, well, thank you for giving me the heads up that he was going to be on, because I listened to it, and I got me excited.
Didn't you find him to be just a? You can tell when somebody's not being genuine and just trying to sell a ticket. I found him genuine.
I've met a lot of famous people. I was, you know, cruise director for 31 years, mostly in Royal Caribbean, and we had a lot of celebrity acts. Some of them are as nice as can be, and some of them, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh. And it's usually the ones that are kind of like, they weren't that famous, but they're the ones with the biggest egos.
You know, one thing Tony talked about that I found interesting, he's excited to see the Palace Theater.
Yeah, I heard that. He said he was going to Google us and check out our website. Yeah.
You know, that's one of our biggest assets, I think, is the actual theater itself.
Yeah, we are, you know, very blessed to have this. I mean, for a town, a relatively small town, that we have this huge theater that is so iconic and beautiful and historic. And the thing that I'm most impressed taking over as executive director is what great community support we have.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a 94-year-old building. So, I mean, anybody who's got an old house, they know they can be money pits. I mean, Bev Ford did a great job raising money. We have a new roof. We've got new windows going in. You know, we have a new marquee. I don't have any big projects for the next couple of years, but every day, you know, something's happening, some leak somewhere, or, you know, we're always calling the plumber, always calling Doug Hooper, and, you know, we need this fixed. So, you know, maintenance of the building is very, very expensive just because of its age.
You know, our offices used to be on the corner of South Prospect and Center Street. And when I would go down there on Friday night to the office and a show would be going on at the Palace, when you would see that marquee lit up and people trying to find a parking space down there, there's nothing like that. That's just like looking down at a Broadway theater when something like that's happening.
Yeah. And there are a lot of Broadway theaters that aren't as big as this, aren't as nice as this.
You're absolutely right. Now, if somebody wanted to become a member of the Palace and get the brochures and things of that nature, how would they do that?
Well, they could do that online at our website, marionpalace.org. Then call the box office. They can do it, you know, over the phone. But for as little as $25 for a whole year, you know, they can be a member. And, you know, they get all the information. They get priority ticket sales. Now, if they're a marquee member, I think the minimum cost to be a marquee member is $1,000. But they get way advanced. They get to choose their own seats for the season. They can have the same seats for every show. There's a lot of perks going in that end.
Now, whether you are whether it's a national show or a local show, what is the best part about coming to the Palace to see a show?
I think it's our world famous popcorn.
You know, food is always the best part, isn't it?
No, when you walk in that door, and the concession room is right there. The whole palace fills with the beautiful aroma of popcorn. And okay, but seriously, I think what I love to do, like when I always kind of like try to greet everybody in the lobby when they're coming in. There's so many Marionites that I meet who've lived here their whole life but have never been to the Palace. And they come in and they walk in and they see the beautiful Spanish palace facade and everything. And they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is in my hometown. And I can't believe I've never been here.
You know, it's kind of like the Harding home in that way. And it's weird you mentioned food in a fun way there. But honestly, the palace has changed the way they've done concessions over the years. But the last time I was there, which I think was back in October, the concession area is great and has a lot of options.
Yep. And let me do a little plug here. The popcorn popper that we have in the concession room is the original one from the reopening in 1976.
Is that right?
It is.
Isn't that?
It hasn't. It's in working condition, but it's 45 years old, at least. So we decided we were going to buy a new one, and I called Doug Brown, in charge of the Warren Brown Foundation, and they were big in Wyandotte popcorn and stuff. And I said, hey, Doug, we need a new popcorn popper. Do you want to sponsor it? He goes, yeah, how much is it? I'm like, it's going to be about $17,000. He goes, yeah, we'll pay for it. So thank
That's
you, Doug
good.
Brown.
Yeah.
It's on order. It should be here within 6 weeks or so. You know, we're getting a brand new popcorn popper.
That to me, right there, signifies the Marion community that a lot of times we don't hear about. Marion has a very, very powerful arts community, and you would have to support a theater like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is, you know, we would not survive without the community support and memberships that we have. And, you know, corporations too, you know, Whirlpool is very generous with us, always sponsoring a show, a lot of local businesses. But we also get a lot of government assistance. There's a lot of arts grants out there. We would not have survived COVID without the government. You know, there were grants that helped us make ends meet when we were closed for several months.
When it comes, because I think a lot of times people think of theater as an older person's an event, but that's not really so, is it?
Well, I think, you know, what we've noticed, the younger generation grew up with laptops and smartphones and stuff and streaming devices and, you know, 1,000 channels on their television. It is our, you know, the bulk of our patrons is the older generation who grew up with theater, grew up with going to a movie theater, and that's why the majority of our programming is geared towards that age group. But one thing we're doing in the next season, we found out that we have kind of a missing demographic, people between the ages of, say, 20 and 50. And we found, you know, the only reason they're coming to the palace is if they have a kid or a grandkid in one of our shows. So that's why we're kind of opening up the programming this next season, adding some stand-up comedy and stuff, just to kind of grab the younger generation and get them to love the theater and love the palace and live performing as much as the older generation.
Well, I do want to let the audience know again that Tony Danza is right around the corner. That's going to be the next big event here at the Palace. That is Saturday, April the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are not badly priced as compared to shows like this in other areas. There are tickets available. Call the Palace box office, 740-383-2101. And like I say, those tickets are available, but you never know when there's going to be a run on those. And what a great Easter gift or an early Mother's Day gift that would be to somebody in your family to take them to this this show. And most people are off on Saturday nights now. That tends to be one of the free nights that people still have in their lives. So it's going to be a show, I think. Whatever happens, I mean, he dances, he sings. He plays musical instruments. He tells great stories. I can't wait to hear the Frank Sinatra and his mother's story that he alluded to on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope that people are able to come out. I hear the weather's going to be fairly nice next week, so it certainly is worth it. Kirk, any parting words?
No, just support the Palace Theater. We need you.
Anytime you have anything, Kirk, give us a call, and we'll get you on. It's very important.
Fantastic. Thank Appreciate your support.
Hey, thank you, Kirk. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Kirk Detweiler, Executive Director of the Marion Palace Theater. Of course, talking about the Big Tony Danza Show. April the 23rd. Tony was on with us on Monday morning, and all kinds of shows after that. Will Rogers Follies coming up this summer. You heard it here first, as Kirk said. That sounds like a great show coming up this summer, and there will be auditions for that. So pay attention for those dates coming up in May. The summer musical at the Palace is just, it's kind of like Christmas at the Palace. It's just an event in the community that everybody's aware of, that you want to go to because you know the quality is going to be great. And that's one of the great things here about Marion. You know, when a national show comes through, it's of national quality. But I'll tell you, our local shows are of national quality, too. And that's what a lot of people say who come from other communities to see our local theater shows, the productions, is that they are of a very, very, very high quality. So those Tony Danza seats are still available. And really, wouldn't you like to find those in your Easter basket? Wouldn't you like to find those, you know, go to Mom's house for dinner on or even Dad, for that matter. Father's Day's not too far off. Go to Mom and Dad's house Sunday for Easter and say, hey, here, early Mother's Day, early Father's Day gift, a couple of passes to the Tony Danza show at the Palace. Because this is a show, it's interesting to me, because I think Tony Danza appeals to that demographic that Kirk was talking about that doesn't go to the theater a lot, because some of his shows were on in the 80s, so that age group that watched his show is probably 30s, 40s now, probably no older than that. And then you've got the group that will love the music that he performs. You know, he does things from the American Songbook. So that might be geared toward an older generation, but that's fine, because I think it also is geared toward the younger generation just because of who Tony Danza is and the stories that he will end up telling that night. And you know what's funny? When he talked about playing the ukulele on Monday, I see a lot of videos on YouTube in regard to the ukulele. A lot of young people, this has become a young person's instrument for whatever reason. So that might be a pitch to somebody who's young who might be interested in the ukulele. So there you are. That's coming up, what is it now? About 10 days from now, Tony Danza will be rolling into town. And that's well worth it. And as I say, with the gas prices as they've been, you know, close to $4 a gallon hovering around that area, you know, you don't have to drive to Columbus and pay for parking and do all that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but at this time, that's a little pricey when you can do a quality show here in Marion with a big name performer just 10 days away. What a great great thing that is. And as I said, I commend Kirk and the group over at the Palace for putting this in. And it's interesting that it was a fill-in show. What a great job they did with picking this fill-in show. Because, boy, that's a big fill-in, in my opinion. Now, I do want to remind everybody, the Cadbury Eggs. Now, our winners yesterday were Ron and Grover. Your Cadbury Eggs will be at the office tonight, 4 to 6 p.m., Wednesday night, 4 to 6 p.m., for pickup. Or Friday morning at 10 a.m., but wait till 10 a.m. because we want Pastor Steve to have his show non-interrupted. So wait till the pastor spot goes off on Friday morning, and you can pick those up right at 10 o'clock. Ron and Grover were the winners yesterday, and we might add a third winner today. We have one more guest coming on here this morning, hopefully momentarily here, so we can get some time with them. But we may add a third winner without even doing any more questions, because we do have a list of names to draw from yesterday. So we might just draw from that name group and draw another winner, because, as I say, I will not be on tomorrow and I will not be on Friday. So I do want to wish everybody a great Good Friday and a great Easter holiday coming up on Sunday. It is that time of year. Can you imagine? Let's see here what I can get on our guest coming up who might fill the remainder of the program this morning. See, I have to remember what time I told people to call. Yeah, I thought I was right. I thought 8:35 was what I said. So the guest is a little late here this morning, but that's okay. People have busy lives. I can certainly understand that. So we will have our guest on momentarily. But again, don't forget to pick up your eggs. I know that would be a great Easter gift to somebody. These are the regular sized Cadbury eggs, I believe four in a box here. And they will be at the studio if you'd like to get them tonight, 4 to 6, or Friday at 10 a.m. So if you work second shift, you can get them Friday. If you work first shift, you can grab them tonight. And the winners yesterday, again, were Ron and Grover. And as I say, if we don't have time to do any more trivia questions this morning, we'll just pick a third name because we do have three boxes of these eggs that we do want to give to people. So that's how it is this morning. 40 minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. It is Wednesday, April the 13th. 61 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Not a bad temperature out there at all this morning. Hopefully, we can avoid storms and rain. Last night was nice for the most part. It got a little overcast as the day went on, but nothing too severe. That's nice. The weather, I'll tell you, April's weather is very bizarre. It's up and down and up and down. I mean, we can have anything from snow to high winds, to tornado watches, to thunderstorms, to very warm, nice, clear days. That's how it goes here in the Midwest. In the springtime, I guess, is what we're in. We're in springtime up until June the 21st. So that's how that goes. And again, we will give away those Tony Danza tickets early next week. And we have two sets of two passes, thanks to the people over at the Palace. So don't forget to tune in early next week, and we will give away those tickets to the Tony Danza show happening a week from this Saturday. Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you, time is moving by fast. Can you believe we're already at the midpoint here in April? What is it? Friday will be the 15th. That's right smack dab in the middle of April. 30 days in the month of April. Spring is moving on. Easter coming very late this year. I know it can come a little later. I think we discussed this earlier on in the week that I think Easter can come until April the 22nd. And this year we have it on April 17th. So there you go. Ah, here's our guest. All right. Let's go to the phones here on WWGH Radio. Our guest for the remaining 18 minutes this morning is a member of the City Council at Large, Pastor Brett Cornelius, who wants to talk about an event coming up here that he was on earlier in the year to kind of talk about, but it's coming to fruition here in the next week or so. Pastor, how are you?
Not bad. How are you, Scott? Thanks for having me on.
Doing good. Let people know what's coming up next week.
Well, we have the City Council a couple months ago established a special committee for exploration of a city charter. And one of the things we've been waiting for is an appearance from Gary Hunter. Gary is from the Ohio Municipal League, and he's going to come and give us some information about how to start a charter, what the advantages of a charter are. And so that's coming up this Tuesday, this next Tuesday, the 19th at 6:30, and that'll be at City Hall.
That'll be at City Hall. Now, I know we talked, I believe it was back in January, about the city charter, and was there a lot of support on this from city council or talk? And at that time, you said things hadn't really been batted around. You guys had just taken office. The new city council had just taken office. Now that we're into April and you guys have been there a while, what's the feeling about a city charter amongst the council members?
Well, I think it's pretty favorable. I think on both sides of the aisle, there are interested parties. And I'm getting the sense that we'll have support on City Council for adopting a city charter. Of course, the process is going to be, this is just the very beginning of the process.
Now, for people who maybe did not hear our last show or who don't understand, what is the difference between what we have now and a city charter?
Okay. So right now, we're a statutory city. And that means most of the structure for how a city government runs comes from the state legislature. So they make a lot of the rules about what we can do, what the limits of authority are, how we can operate, what structure of government we have, mayor or, you know, city manager, or some combination of commission and city manager. And so right now, all those rules get made in Columbus. And if we get a city charter, we'll be able to design our own city government, design what the structure of it's going to be, even set forth some of the powers that city government will have.
It's interesting because this is a process, and it's my understanding that the process would be the charter committee would have to vote to send it to city council. City council would have to vote to let it go to appear on the ballot, the citywide ballot. Then
right.
On the ballot, the city itself would have to be in favor of it by a popular vote. Then
yes.
Then there would be another citywide vote to elect members to a committee who would come up with the charter.
Yeah, there's the committee on city council that will adopt some kind of ordinance, and then we'll send it to city council. But when the vote comes, when the people approve or disapprove, when they vote on when they vote on electing a charter commission, that will all take place on the same ballot.
Now,
so they can vote yes or no, and then there will be a number of candidates for the charter commission that they can elect at the same time.
Now, once they submit the charter itself, now does that go back to the city for a popular vote, or does that go to city council for a vote?
Yes, no, that goes to the voters.
To the voters. So
voters will decide this, yes.
The only thing city council ever votes on is to put it on the ballot.
That's right.
Okay. And it's my understanding, now city council can give ideas, but they cannot be a part of the committee that comes up with the charter.
Well, that's one of the things we're going to find out from Mr. Hunter when he appears.
So that's kind of up in the air right now.
That's right. But ideally, you would have... the commission has to be 15 elected people from the ballot. So there's 9 city council members. And depending on how we structure the ordinance, we can either nominate people to be on the ballot, or people from the community can, get a petition signed and qualify to be on the ballot. There's a few different ways that can happen. Ideally, I think we would elect a separate commission.
Now, again, this meeting, for all interested, will be at City Hall. This is Tuesday, April the 19th at 6:30 p.m. Information about becoming a charter city and a city charter and how that all takes place. Now, Brett, for people who have lived under the statutory city here in Marion for a long, long time, why has this become, because you even mentioned this during the candidates night, ran on this. Why is this so important to you to get this done?
Well, I think the issue for me is it gives Marion the chance to come up with to design their own government. Right now, everything is put together by the state legislature because we're a statutory city. And this gives us more local control. And it may even give us more home powers. So the issue for me is, and I know there's a lot of people, there's several people who I've talked to that have a difference of opinion about what form of government Marion should adopt. And I think that's, you know, that's important, and that should all be hashed out in, you know, in the commission. But I think even more important is the fact that this gives us more local control over our government. So right now we have, in Ohio, there's 132 General Assembly members between the House and the Senate. We have two representatives. So if we want to get something changed structurally, we have two voices in the General Assembly. If we have more local control, then if we want to change something, the citizens of Marion right now only have, with a General Assembly, only have two voices in the General Assembly. In City Council, where we can get things changed, you would have 4 out of 9 voices. So rather than 2 out of 132, it gives each voter in Marion more local control over their government.
You know, Brett, we've had the mayor on. He does a regular spot with us every month to let us know what's going on in the city. And we've asked him about this charter city. And this is not a direct quote, but to paraphrase what he has said about this, he has said he's not necessarily against it. It's just that nobody's really said anything to him or brought up to him why this would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you think the local voters of Marion not having more control over their own government is not a great idea, then I guess.
I don't think he was saying he was against it. I think what he was saying is that nobody has approached him or said anything. He hasn't heard anything about why this would be a good idea at all. I think that's what, I'd have to go back and listen, but I'm pretty sure that's what his feeling was.
Well, here's the way I feel. You know, whatever system the Charter Commission comes up with is bound to be better than what we have now, because it gives us more local control, gives each voter in Marion more of a voice in what happens in their city government. So I think that's a good idea. I think that advantage alone is enough to compel us to bring the city charter into Marion.
Now, how soon would the vote come from the committee to go to city council to be put on the ballot? Is the committee set at this point? Are they set to vote?
No, we really haven't got all, you know, what will happen Tuesday is this would be a big step in listening to somebody who's an expert on the subject, who will be able to give us all the advantages and disadvantages of a charter city, who will be able to tell us the different types of structures we can adopt. That'll be a big step. So we'll hear from an expert. And then there'll be other people we need to talk to. Particularly, I think the Board of Elections. We'll have to have them in to schedule a visit and see what our options are for putting this on the ballot. And others on the committee may want to call other witnesses or other experts. So we have to give that time. We have to let that kind of ruminate. And then, you know, at some point, the committee would have to write an ordinance or something to put on the ballot.
Now who
so
is
that people can...
Who's on the committee?
Okay, Mike Thomas, Aaron Rollins, Mike Neff, Kai Mead, and myself. So there's 2 Democrats and 3 Republicans on the committee.
Now, is the feeling among 2 Democrats and 3 Republicans pretty well the same at this point? I mean, we don't know how people are going to vote in the end, but is it
right,
the same type of feeling, the same type of questioning amongst that group?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of questions from the group. I think there's some that are more in favor of getting the process started than others. I'll let all the committee members speak for themselves. Right now, I would say generally among the committee, there's a positive outlook on, you know, getting the process started.
Do want to let the audience know again, 54 minutes past the hour. We've got Brett here for about six more minutes. The meeting about the Charter City and to get some information in regard to that will be at City Hall Tuesday, April the 19th, 6:30 p.m. That's an open meeting if you want to attend. Brett, we've got about 6 minutes left here, and there are two issues that have been in front of City Council in the last week that we've been talking about here on the air, and from somebody who was there, just to give some clarification to this. We heard at the first of the year that there was all this kind of folderol about the contract for the sanitation, transit, and wastewater group about approving their contract that was negotiated with the city negotiators and the mayor's office. And yeah, that was having trouble getting readings, being passed. And ultimately, it's my understanding, it was passed Monday, but it ended up being kind of irrelevant because if it's not taken care of in 30 days, it automatically passed anyway.
Yep.
So how did that happen?
Well, we weren't, some of us are new to council, and some of the older guys on council who know how this occurs, who knows what the statutes are, this never got brought up in city council. So we expected, like every ordinance that gets passed or resolution that gets passed, there's three readings, and there were three readings scheduled for, you know, to pass this union contract. But on the third reading, we were told, Ayers Ratliff, who's on the council, announced that, you know, his understanding was after 30 days, it doesn't matter what we vote on, because it's already passed. It's already gone into effect after 30 days. So that's an ordinance of the, that's a statute of the state of Ohio. And, I'm still looking into that. I was a little taken aback. You know, you think if there's something that comes before, that's supposed to come before city council for approval, I think we should have at least been made aware of that.
Now, were you for or against? Because a lot of audience members were not sure, and the way the articles were written in the newspaper, it left some ambiguity as why there was a problem with this contract. Were you for or against it, and what was the issue?
I was against it because they were giving $1,000 to people who had been vaccinated. So they were separating out people who were vaccinated from people who were unvaccinated. People who were vaccinated got the bonus. People who were unvaccinated didn't get the bonus. But all three of those people, both of those categories, vaccinated, unvaccinated, both of those categories get the work for the city. So, you know, a special category of city workers was going to get the bonus, and the others weren't,
also,
based on their vaccination status.
Well, and also, and just because we're running out of time here, we're at 2 minutes, and it's on our news today, and I believe it was in the Star either yesterday or today. A current auditor, Miranda McGinnis, I believe, presented a letter to City Council on Monday and was saying, basically, that the city has suffered many consequences from the last auditor, and basically said that he was not doing his job. Now, Miranda McGinnis is a Republican, and she is a Republican who was chosen by the Republican Party to succeed Robert Landon when he left. And she seems to be laying a lot of the blame with him.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of things that aren't getting done. And the auditor's office has got some problems.
The current auditor's office?
Yeah, the current, well, yeah, the auditor's office and whatever the, you know, circumstances were before the last auditor left, those problems are persisting. We have $150,000 that we potentially owe to the IRS. We're trying to negotiate that and bring down that cost, but that was as a result of the previous office, auditor's office, paying the state rather than paying the IRS. So the money went to the wrong party. She also made us aware that a number of city employees that live in the Ridgedale district had their proper amount of taxes withheld, but the taxes were paid to River Valley rather than Ridgedale. So that seemed like there was another problem that we have to straighten out. So there are problems. We are trying to get answers on when these problems can be resolved. It looks like these could have some serious consequences for the city of Marion. We're hoping to get through this without, but right now we're just waiting on the auditor's office to get the audit done. They've done their part. Miranda has done her part. We're waiting for news from the state, but these are things that are out of our control.
Do you agree with her statement, which was the headline in the Star, that this is basically an issue with the last auditor? Things are the way they are because of he.
Well, I think yes. I think there were some problems with the office last time. I don't know if it was directly the auditor that was at fault or whether there were people in his office. I think there was some issues there. Also, the system that we had, the computer system that we currently have, it had some problems. We were advised back in, 2000, the city was advised back in 2013 or 14, sometime whenever we adopted this. May have been earlier. We were advised by the state auditors not to get that certain program software that we bought for the city, and it was purchased anyway. So that was long before the last auditor came into office. But there are some long term problems.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We're out of time here this morning. I do want to remind everybody the meeting about the Charter City, Tuesday, April the 19th, 6:30 p.m. at City Hall, and everybody is welcome to attend that. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, and we drew another name here because we ran out of time. Sarah, you got the third batch of Cadbury eggs. You can pick those up tonight between 4 and 6 or Friday morning at 10. And that's a wrap here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 1.